Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 2nd of December 2024. Joining me, Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with today's news, including a drop in interest rates and what that means for ag, and a 2025 fungicide option to think about as you plan the next crop year. The HAT Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Also with us today, HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin forecasting more chilly weather and lasting much of the week. And the partial day session on Friday saw mixed ag markets. Mike Silver has analysis on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
An economic outlook for 2025 and managing diseases next year. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Everyone is taking the winter to sharpen their pencil and plan for a successful 2025 crop season. David Widmar is an economist with Agricultural Economic Insights based in West Lafayette. He says interest rates are starting to fall, which is a good thing for U.S. agriculture. But it'll take time to feel the effects of the drop.
We went from 3.5%, 4% farm-level interest rates up to 7%, 7.5%. And now we're coming down from 7.5% to maybe 6.5%. We'll start to see some improvement, but we went up a lot and we've came down a little bit. The implications of interest rates will range from borrowing costs all the way to asset valuations. And so it's going to take time to work its way through this system. But yes, time is going to be important. A little bit of relief for 2025, but long-term will be important to watch.
Looking ahead to 25, Widmar says there are some reasons to think economic conditions will improve. There is some improvement in commodity prices for corn and soybeans.
Some inputs have come down a little bit, so there's going to be a little bit of budget improvement. And of course, optimism. We always turn the page and we're optimistic about the next year's crop. So I think that's going to be important to keep an eye on. But producers are going to have to ultimately do a lot of review of their financials over the winter, make solid plans in their budgets. But I think they're also going to need to really say, how am I going to cut some of those fixed overhead costs that I have in my operation? You know, is my family living in shape? Is all my machinery costs in shape? Are my debt payments in shape? There's time here, time to make some positions and course adjustments.
There's also the possibility of financial assistance coming from Congress during this lame duck session. But Widmar cautions on how to best use it if it does come.
So are we going to use that as a band-aid to cover up some of our wounds on our balance sheet? Or are we going to use it as an opportunity to really get things restructured and to set us up for success beyond 2025?
For more insight, visit AEI.ag. Well, if you're one of our many farmers listening out there, you know how frustrating fungal diseases can be, whether it's tar spot in corn or sudden death syndrome in soybeans. CJ Miller joins us now with an option for fighting both of those diseases and more next year.
TJ Benz is an agronomist with Syngenta, and he says you may want to consider Miravis Neo corn and soybean fungicide for 2025.
Well, the one thing that sets Miravis Neo apart from other fungicides on the market is our carboxamide SDHI inhibitor fungicide that goes into it. So this is revolutionary when we sit there and look at controlling diseases. The thing about it is it has very good persistency and very good stamina on controlling the residual with the tar spot disease.
He says that Miravis Neo tackles a number of different corn fungal diseases.
When you sit there and look at it, yes, we have to control tar spot, but at the same time, you're probably dealing with some northern corn leaf blight. You're probably dealing with some gray leaf spot. And oh yeah, by the way, you're dealing with stress also. And so the stress mitigation of the AI that's in Miravis Neo helps with all of those. And then on top of that, we've already got two other AIs in there. So this is a total of three different AIs in this one product to help you prevent the disease that you're looking at.
Benz adds that Miravis Neo fungicide also does the trick to fight fungus pressure on soybeans. soybeans, including white mold.
You got to think about how white mold works. So it's going to infect during bloom. So we have to be very careful on how we're making these applications to be able to get the best out of it if we're looking for white mold control. So you can either make a single application or you can make a split application. So basically two applications of Miravis Neo to be able to do a better job of controlling your white mold.
For more information about Miravis Neo, visit Syngenta-US.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And you can find farm news anytime at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the latest setup here across the Eastern Corn Belt, looks like we're going to be chilly for a large chunk of this week. Now, north and northwest winds are easing ever so slightly, but we are not seeing an easing of this cold air very much. That means the lake effect is still going to be in play in parts of the Eastern Corn Belt, but not necessarily too much in Indiana, mostly a Michigan kind of setup. Now, as we move into the second half of the week, there's a disturbance that comes through Michigan on a Wednesday, the Great Lakes in general, and that brings a strong resurgence of north winds for Thursday. So lake effect may come back on Thursday with regard to cloud cover. I won't rule out flurries Wednesday night, early Thursday morning over the northern half of the state, but it's really not all that dramatic. There's not much moisture with that air mass and that boundary to work with. It's just a reinforcing shot of cold Canadian air. We follow that up with temperatures staying chilly into the start of the weekend. See temperature moderation Sunday into early next week. It's not going to be a long-term push of moderating temperatures, but I do think there's a little bit of a surge. Sunday is going to be your mild day. Overnight Sunday night into Monday, rain moves through, and behind that rain boundary, we go back to the cold stuff right on through the rest of next week. The week of the 9th is mostly normal to below normal here for December. And we see another round of moderating temperatures developing over the western half to western third of the nation late next week into the weekend. So the 14th and 15th, I think that warming surge gets to us probably late the 15th and then to start the week of the 16th. So pay attention to that. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Overall, it's got a lot of dryness in it. Our best chance at moisture is going to be the rain next Sunday night into early Monday morning. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Quiet and mixed holiday markets in a short day of trade on Friday. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have the settlements momentarily. We'll begin with market analysis, and for that, I spoke with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain at the end of the session. Mike, a happy Thanksgiving to you, a little bit belated, but we did trade, partial day of trade on Friday, and definitely it was holiday trade in the end. Very quiet moves lower in beans and wheat, and corn worked a little bit higher, but not a whole lot happening other than export sales out first thing, and that was a pretty good report for soybeans.
It was a good report, and hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving too, Andy. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for this year, as we do always. But it's good that we take time out to observe our thankfulness. And I hope you and your family had a fabulous Thanksgiving too. Yes, the export sales this morning for soybeans came in at 2.490 million metric tons. That was up from last week's 1.860 million tons. Plus, on top of that export sales report, a robust number, we did have a flash sale of additional soybeans in the daily export reporting system. So that was good to see on this last trading day of the month of November. The corn number came in, it was okay, 1.062 million tons. Last week we were at 1.494. That's a little lower than last week's number, but it was above the low end of expectations, so that was good. The wheat number came in at 366,000 tons. That was down from last week's 549. We had good soybean meal exports too. The whole meal complex was soybean complex had some really strong weekly export sales numbers in it. 487,000 tons of soybean meal. Last week's number was 274. And the soy oil was a really strong number, 124.8 thousand tons. And that was really good. Last week we were at 21.9. So really good export sales numbers there for the last trading day of the month of November. The pace that we're on right now with corn export sales, we're actually 10% above the pace needed to meet the USDA balance sheet projection. So we hope going into the balance of the year and into the early part of next year, and next year for that matter, that we can really kick these corn export sales up. We really need to get some robust movement in the corn futures market. The soybean pace we're on right now, we're 1% above the pace we need to meet the USDA export balance sheets projections. And we'll see with these kinds of numbers what USDA does for us in the December WASDE report. And that will be out let's see here. That will be out December the 10th, Tuesday, December the 10th, we'll get the WASDE report. So hopefully we'll see USDA up our export expectations and see if we can't build a little spark under these futures markets. Today's trade was holiday-type trade. For a holiday-type trade, though, we did have some pretty decent volatility in the market, but the trading community extended its holiday, and the volume today was not anything really to brag about. But if I compare where we're closing today versus where we closed last Friday, it looks like we're going to be down a couple cents in corn. We're actually looks like we're going to be about 7 cents higher in the soybeans, and the wheat, we're still down about a dozen, 12 cents from where we closed last Friday. So, Andy, as I've said before, today was first notice day for December futures, and most all of our corn bids now are against the March futures. Soybeans have been against the January future price reference for quite a while now. Monday, we will see how we start off the month of December. Monday, December the 2nd will be the first trading day of the new month. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. You know, there are some headwinds that we need to address. Today's trade was technical in nature, but we know that there's tariff talk in the market, you know, and reciprocal tariffs, and it's yet to be seen how that's all going to play out once President Trump takes over on Inauguration Day, January the 20th. You know, he has said that he's going to live up to his campaign promises, and he's already announced some pretty strong tariffs against Mexico, our trading partner, and Canada, our trading partner. So hopefully we won't see too much reciprocity from those countries when those tariffs do take place, and most people expect that they will. So farmers continue to be very tight holders of the crop that they harvested this last fall, Andy. So basis levels remain strong, and hopefully we'll see some rise in the futures price so farmers can make some additional sales of the not record crop necessarily that we harvested this last fall, but certainly a very good crop historically this last fall. As South America, the early projections down there look like they are going to have a really strong soybean crop. Weather is a non-factor, so the market's going to be paying attention to over the course of the next several weeks and into early January geopolitical risks, South American crop projections and weather, export demand, and policies of the new administration when President Trump and his cabinet take over on Inauguration Day, January 20th. So we want to be prepared for any opportunities that present themselves, Andy.
Market analysis from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now numbers from Friday trade. March corn, a nickel gain, 433. It worked higher most of the day. May contract up 4.5 cents, 439.75. July up 3.75, 442.25. Beans right near even and mixed. January up 3/4, 989.5. March 996 even. Down an even penny, and May 10.08.5, losing 2.25. March wheat also very steady, 5.48 at the end, down a half cent. The meats were mixed. February live cattle up 2 cents, 188.62. February lean hogs down $1.60, 86.32. And that is the Friday Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.